ask you a question. What do you think of me?
What do you mean?
You've known me nearly all your life. You must have formed some opinion of me.
Well, I always thought that you were a very nice person.
Did you know I was an alcoholic?
What?
Did you know that?
Look, I think I should be going.
Sit down, Benjamin.
Mrs. Robinson, if you don't mind my saying so, this conversation is getting a little strange. Now, I'm sure that Mr. Robinson will be here any minute now.
No.
What?
My husband will be back quite late. He should be gone for several hours.
Oh, my God.
Pardon?
Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
Mrs. Robinson, you didn't... I mean, you didn't expect...
What?
I mean, you didn't really think I'd do something like that.
Like what?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
And this is Douglas trying to pick his top five.
Right, he's doing his top five while we're... So basically, throughout the first like half of the podcast, when you realize me and Damon are the only ones talking because Douglas is in his corners trying to find all of the five movies he can talk about in our top five later. But this week, Damon has come to us stating that he is shedding his ideology of making us watch old movies by picking a relatively current release from last year, mm-hmm. asking us to watch the film A Teacher. Mm-hmm. Damien, please
yes.
state your opening your opening defense.
Okay. Okay. I made a mistake and went on the internet.
What did we say about my teacher, Damien?
I know, but it keeps whispering things at me.
So tell people what this movie is about. Like,
this movie is about a just deplorable human being who happens to be a teacher. And as teachers are wont to do, she gets involved with her student. Oh wait, no, that's not what teachers do.
Wait, sorry. That's not what teachers do?
Douglas, no.
What they do? Teacher?
Listen.
Wait, stop. Weren't you a teacher up until last year?
Let's just say I've got a couple of comments to make.
What teachers do is tell the students that they're not sluts. However, they are acting like sluts. Two people
yes.
get that joke.
Oh, yes.
And the other three people that watch the class.
Is it sad that at this point, any movie that says, that tries to skirt a insult by using the word I said you were like, I just immediately start laughing even if they didn't mean it as a joke.
Yeah.
All because of that movie.
That movie's pretty good. This movie's not as good. Nothing close. The movie surrounds this teacher who has this relationship with one of her students. It's a young man. And the movie tries to manipulate you into feeling sorry for this woman, and then of course the movie ends how you think it ends. People find out, because if you're going to make a movie like this, that's the only reason that you did, is to try and explore the whoever the person is before they get caught or when they get. Thinking back, when when I was done watching this movie, I was kind of upset. But not so much at the movie, but at the person, the teacher that is portrayed in the movie. And then I was kind of upset with the director, because I could feel the director trying to manipulate me into feeling sorry for her. Because she's having this relationship with this young man, and the movie tries to portray that she is kind of, she's not so much a predator. She is more a victim, but you're not really sure a victim of what. The movie...
You mean the teacher?
The teacher, right.
Okay.
The movie at one point shows you that she has an estranged brother and mother. Her mother may have Alzheimer's. The brother makes a one-line reference to the fact that the mother doesn't remember him a lot of the days. And then that scene kind of ends. And then the movie goes on to show you that she's not the one who is manipulating the student. She is in love with the student. And so you as a viewer are supposed to feel something by the end of the movie when, of course, the world finds out. But I did not.
You see, I think the thing about that decision is that you talk about the movie wants to tell us what she was before people found out. But most movies that do this story, they go a step further. And this movie kind of skipped over it. This movie takes us past the point where she decided to have this relationship. Right? We just jump in the middle of the relationship. Yeah. And you talk about it manipulating you. And I think that point is where most movies lose any sort of sympathy from the viewers for the person. Because the point where they make the decision to actually go forward into this relationship is the point where everyone goes, you're a dumb person. Like, I don't...
Everybody else goes, nope!
Right. And the movie circumvents that by not showing us that point in the conversation.
Right.
So it's all about her.
Right.
We actually have to deal with the fact that it might just be an honest truth that she actually sincerely has these feelings.
Right.
Right? And now, how do we deal with discussing these things?
And exactly what Andrew said is exactly the reason why, even though they try, because that is what this movie is trying to do. Get you to see that she's not a monster. They want you to see, shades of grey. It's not as black and white as we think. Except for the fact that it 100% is 100% of the time. At every time I started to feel some kind of sympathy or some pathos or anything for this woman, I just immediately, my brain immediately went, Damien, pause this movie and I want you to flip this situation. Let it be a grown man and a young girl, and it is nothing that
no one is ever going to think.
No one
okay.
Is right. There is no middle ground. This is, and I'm like, all right, fine. What if it was that she was not this young-looking woman? What if she was some old hag, right? And then a young boy. Everything about it changes. Like, and they don't give you, which of course the movie didn't, they don't give you an age for either the teacher or the...
You guesstimate that she's mid-20s.
Of course you do. Of course. Right? And that is exactly what the movie wants. Because the movie said she's 32 and he's 15. Immediately. You don't go... Nope.
He looks like he should be like 17.
Mm-hmm. And of course he does. And of course she doesn't look that old either. Because that is what the movie wants. And I just felt the entire time myself being manipulated. And the entire time going, there's no shades of gray in this situation.
Wait,
she's
sorry,
broken
what?
Two rules. Stop it.
You are manipulated.
Stop. She's broken two rules. A teacher's job is not to bang her students. Right?
Are you sure?
I'm fairly certain. Douglas Robinson.
Douglas.
I'm
Douglas,
pretty
Douglas,
sure.
Make sure they didn't know your name.
The handbook is straightforward.
There's a handbook?
Yes.
God, and it said, damn it, I knew I should have read that thing.
There's a...
They give it out at teacher association meetings.
There's a teacher and a student in a sexual position and a red circle with a light. And that's page 1 through like 47.
I would say, however, that same iconography is used for Ghostbusters, and I like all the ghosts in that movie. So I'm kind of confused.
God, I hate that.
I tried.
Oh, Lord. Hate this podcast.
Andrew.
Everything about this.
Stop trying to back up Viggo. Okay, Viggo he's a mean guy. Okay.
Right. Back to this movie. She's human garbage. Is what she's a terrible person, and the fact that she might have some mental issues that makes her think it is okay. In a society that has deemed it many, many times not okay to do this, even if she weren't a teacher. But she is a teacher, so it's like doubly bad. And the movie is trying to show you that, oh no, she's not the aggressor, she's not this, she's not that. But none of that matters.
You're going back to the decision point in your mind.
She's in the wrong. 100%.
But see, the thing is, I don't... So, what you're saying is you think that this movie is showing her as a victim? Because I don't see that at all.
No, they're not showing her as a victim. What the movie is trying to do is get you to sympathize with her position. She's made
this
terrible decision.
I don't think so at all either.
She's made this terrible decision. And what he wants to show is that she is truly... in love with, like, she's not manipulating
no,
the situation.
I also don't think she's in love with this boy and
lost her mind.
And the thing is, I come to this movie a little bit differently. First of all, by the way, this movie just can go jump into a lake. Right?
You don't like it, okay?
For the first 10 to 15 minutes, it was difficult for me to just stare at the screen. I don't know what it was. It just didn't engage me any at all, really. And you know, like, what I saw in this film, what I saw was not a victim. It was not somebody who was, you know, to be sympathized with or empathized with or whatever. What I saw was just somebody that had some crazy problems, and just didn't develop the right sort of social skills or whatever, because, like, there is, of course, the big part of the movie, which is, holy crap, she's sleeping with this 16-year-old boy, and how easily he can manipulate her, and how, you know, kind of just obsessed she is with that relationship. But also look at, and I guess I'm maybe spoiling things, I don't think, so not really,
sure.
But whatever.
Keep going into it.
look at in the middle of the movie, her brother shows up, and clearly there is an issue.
That's how tired you were, that I'm like 15.
Oh, there we go, alright, cool. But clearly there are family issues, where she doesn't speak to her family, you know, she doesn't, there's a problem in the family core, and she just won't deal with it. She won't even speak to her, she can't even speak to her brother. It's not won't, she can't speak to her brother for more than two seconds, because, you know, she can't deal with what is going on. And she doesn't leave like a normal person, right? She doesn't say, you know what, I can't deal with this right now. I hate you. You're a horrible person. And I never liked mom anyway. I'm going home or something like that. She just kind of mumbles to herself, gets up and goes out. And the brother's like, well, should have expected that, because it's not the first time. So this is just, to me, she's just a person who she just, you know, the catch-all phrase is crazy, but I think she's supposed to be portraying a character who just wasn't just didn't develop the way that most people developed, you know? And I feel like she's really not, you know, she may be in her mid-20s, but she's not that age in her head. You know, she's not, she hasn't reached there. She doesn't know how to handle emotion. She doesn't know how to handle all of these situations that she's put herself in, right? Which is why she's put herself there, you know? She just makes these dumb decisions. And in that regard, this movie kind of is, I think, a little bit successful, at least for me. But I really didn't like this movie. This movie, and I said it to Andrew in the middle of the movie, it felt to me like I was watching an hour and a half, and I know this is only like 60 minutes. It felt to me like I was just watching an hour and a half of this woman have sex with this boy. That's, and, you know, I can't even put into words the way that I was disappointed in this movie.
So, the part that I disagree with you of is she knows what she's doing is wrong. Like, she says it multiple times that what she's doing is
actually,
so wrong. So
actually, oddly enough, I found it interesting that when she got more explicit about the consequences that were coming for her, the only thing she worried about was losing her job.
Yeah.
She wasn't worried about...
What else did she have?
The law. I'm going to jail.
What else did she have? She has a job. That's it. She, as you said, she's not very outgoing. They carry to that party. And
no, but
like
she talks about the consequences, and then she shows up at his house.
Yeah,
and
she's a lunatic.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. She is a lunatic.
Right.
This is not somebody who is thinking rationally. And I think that's what this movie is about. It's not about a victim or somebody who, you know, is in a bad situation, but, you know, oh, it's so sad for her. I don't think that's this. This is that person.
Sad that she met him a year early.
Exactly. I don't think that this is that person. I think
Are you sure it's 1 year?
This is somebody who just, you know.
I'm going to guess maybe he's 17.
Of course.
That's a problem.
Uh-huh.
This movie.
Wow.
the thing about this movie is that I kind of fall more on the Douglas side of things. Like, there are some elements of this that definitely are worth talking about. And it's more to do with, like how you were talking about, the idea that if we had switched genders on this game, like, nothing about it would be debatable, right? To even the guy who's most willing to take up the devil's advocate post, which usually is me. There's nothing you could debate about this. Everyone under the sun would say that the guy is doing this to the girl. The thing about it is that for a little while at least, the movie did kind of make me feel for her, to make me feel like, if this was, like, for a second, I would forget that she's a teacher and older and he's a child and a student, mainly because he looks like he's supposed to be an adult to some extent, right? He kind of does, right?
Mm-hmm.
He looks big. He looks like he could.
Of course he does.
He looks 16.
Uh-huh.
When you look at Cristiano Ronaldo at age 18 when he just reached United, he looked like an infant, right?
Okay, that would mean that you shouldn't be having sex with Cristiano Ronaldo. Okay? Just to let you know what the rules are.
Yeah.
How that works.
I think you're confused about what's
And then I would get wrapped up in the fact that, as you said, it becomes really clear that even though we can talk about how wrong her decision is, right, and the fact that everything she's doing is wrong, it's clear that she has feelings towards this guy, this child. Sorry, let me not mince words to this child. And like at the end of the day, the rest of the movie plays out like a regular romance story. As like if all of these things happened in a movie with age appropriate characters, and we were talking about a love where the guy just kind of went off and the girl really loved him, and she went up to his house and did things and like tried to talk to him. Like, you kind of feel those emotions. And in that regard, the movie sort of worked, right? There were some ways in which they did it that kind of bothered me. Like, for example, almost every time in which you saw there was a quote-unquote close call for them being caught, there would be, like, this drum music that came up,
mm-hmm.
right?
God, I hate the music.
Yeah, the music was very kind of over the top. Yeah.
And while the music in itself, like, probably would have been something I could have been interested in, the way it was used like that bothered me to
mm-hmm.
some extent. And it just didn't quite work on me. At the end of the day, when I watch this movie, like, not to say that these movies are, the stories are perfectly similar, but I feel that if you came to this movie looking for that emotional ride of, like, stuff going on between a guy and a girl, or, like, these questionable decisions that people can make in relationships, I feel the better movie this year that you could have watched was Obvious Child, where there's lots of questionable decisions going on there, and the comedy is there as well, so it kind of helps. But this movie, like, it's one of those movies where when I'm done watching it, I feel like if I'd say anything good about it, it would be to go down that list we keep talking about. And at this point, guys, we don't even want to do that. The movie just kind of, as Douglas says, jumps in a lake as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to mention? So there are a bunch of things, and, you know, you've said some of them, Damien said some of them, where you just watch this movie and you're like, really, guys? Seriously, is this what's happening? So one thing that got to me was there are a few times in this movie where the teacher misses this boy, and you just see, like, a close-up of him just kind of sitting down at a book, or
with just this clean white background.
Yeah, we'll play that, exactly. Almost like it's one of those you know, cheap glamour photo shoots. And I don't know if Andrew noticed, but there was a moment in the middle of the movie where, like, I kind of chuckled, and I had to put it back because I had to put it down because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try and not be that guy for Andrew, because I always am that guy who just pulls him out and I'm like, look at this joke that I found. But I remember the first time it happened, right? First time it happened, he's kind of like sitting down. I think he has a book in front of him. He might have his chin on his elbow or something like that. And for some strange reason, in my head, all of a sudden, I heard Andy Samberg and Justin Timberlake with their deep voices going like, "Hey, girl."
I think my favorite part of the story is Douglas sticks his hand in his elbow. Chin on his elbow.
Mm-hmm. That's what
did I say that? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. All right, yeah.
Can't get it there.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
He is flexible, okay? There's a reason why she is still with him.
Like, when the movie was over.
With him.
When the movie was
while she, I bet you while she's in prison, she's like, I'm going to see my boyfriend when I get out.
At least then it would be legal.
Probably still wouldn't. When the movie was over, like, it wasn't just that the movie wasn't great, right? I didn't want to just come here and go, guys, this movie sucks. It kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew there was something else. And the something else was the movie tried to have me sympathize with this monster. She's an awful person. Now, your defense of her is that she's a lunatic.
I'm not defending her.
That is what it sounds like.
No.
She's socially awkward, and she didn't know any better. She made these decisions.
No. Listen here.
Yes.
Criminals make wrong decisions for good reasons all the time. They're still criminals.
Sorry, what now? I didn't study law.
Criminals do what? it also helps that I watched this right after finally watching for the first time 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days.
I'm sorry, what now?
And
the what time?
The first time.
No, that can't be possible. I've talked about that movie for like 1,000 years.
And I'm quietly nodding every time you talk about it. And
did we review that movie?
No, we didn't.
No,
we had to have.
No,
I've spoken about that movie long and hard on this podcast. It had to have been in something.
Well, listen, if you cut together mm-hmm. all of the times you've spoken about right. the movie, it will sound like a review.
Okay.
But I don't think we've it actually
like
reviewed.
A man just shouting at people.
I think
going,
it might
watch,
have
watch,
been
watch,
a last episode.
So this is the first time I actually saw that movie. And I didn't think I was ready for feelings.
That movie's rough. You have to be ready.
Like, I thought I was ready. Like, I thought I had a handle on what to expect from it. And then it came around and...
Punch you in the face.
But anyways,
man, I love that movie.
But anyways, we're not talking
yeah.
about that movie.
Yeah, don't watch this movie, guys. Or watch it. It's streaming on something, I think. Pretty sure it's on Hulu.
Yep.
So, Tom disapproved. So bad.
Tom deleted. Can we delete movies? I'd love to do that.
From existence.
Yeah, just from existence. I would delete.
Question, that's too much power.
I have a question.
Too much power.
If and when we delete movies, do we not only delete them from being watched in the future, but do we delete them from people's memories?
No, no. We delete them from existence. Therefore, nobody's ever watched them. And guess what? The world is better off for it.
That is entirely too much power.
I think there are too many movies, David, to delete that I don't
no,
feel
like
deserved.
We have to come to a consensus.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is where the problem is.
No, there are a
because
few where we come to a, there are a few where we come to a consensus.
Right. No, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because we're terrible people.
Does this also mean that we have the opposing power? So we have the opposing
we
power.
Can't have both.
To make,
there has to be some
to
separation
make,
of power.
To make a movie that we believe is so good and so important
Wait.
That we press a button and suddenly everyone has actually seen it.
Are you saying, Andrew, are you saying that we get to create Condor Man versus versus Disney or
that
something
is,
like that?
That is entirely
because I want that.
First of all, we're going to need to have some form of oversight.
Yes, we have a governance committee. It has 3 members. And it is
we can have a couple consultants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 3 consultants. Douglas, Andrew, and Damien.
Right, so when we put out the list of shit to be deleted, there needs to be like an appeal.
Yes, there is an appeal
but
court
not
with 3 judges.
Not to us. Can't be to us. We're monsters. We listen to a word that they say.
I mean, you know, what you just described to me sounds like a great podcast series. If we could come up with our list and then throw it out to the internet and people grab up movies as to the ones they want to defend and they come on here and defend it to us.
Yeah.
Andrew. Let's do it. And we need to get a hammer and we can, you know, hit a gavel. We can hit the table.
Moving
like, order in the court.
Judge Hodgman judges. Yeah. The Judge Hodgman judgment show.
Oh,
is that still happening?
It is still happening.
Listen
to it for a billion years. Yeah, that's too much, but we can't. Like the Twilight series wouldn't exist. Think about that.
Well,
they're just swats of teenage girls that would be miserable for like all. Like, none of their movies we'd ever. Okay, we delete all of them.
That's so true.
Right? Teenage girl
no,
movies would
sure,
not exist.
I'm pretty sure we'd eventually give them like a couple. Just to be like, they need something. Or no,
listen to me.
Exactly.
I would,
they'll show up at our door with pitchforks and we'll be like, okay,
right, look,
you can get this one.
Right,
we'd argue that Harry Potter is technically that. And then everything else.
Well, we can give
right.
them
Mockingjay
is
gone. Like
no, no, son.
Not for
money.
Right,
I
need it for money.
I need it for money. Also, to be fair to the franchise,
uh-huh.
I kind of liked the last movie.
No, you kind of did.
Yeah, I did. Mm-mm. I did. That second movie was alright. It was pretty good, actually.
Is it worth saving, though?
Well, is it worth saving for me when you say something like that? It has to be like the greatest ever.
No, but
so,
we can delete it.
Right?
I'll just appeal to your inner dirtbag and I'd get so much shit deleted.
black El Dorado. Oh, rolling along down below my window. That black girl in the back looks pretty good. Christ, she's beautiful! You know how soft she is? Just what it feel like.
So this week,
mm-hmm.
There's no poll question. That will come back next week. we're doing slowly. We're coming back slowly. But for next week, the question I want to ask people. Thinking about this movie that we were talking about, A Teacher. I wanted us, as we kept saying repeat, as Damien kept saying repeatedly mm-hmm. during the review. I want you guys to tell me about your favorite movie monsters, right? Not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Draculas and the Godzillas, mm-hmm. but like, for example, the monster that is in A Teacher.
Yes.
Right?
She is a monster. Human garbage.
Favorite monster. Am I allowed to pick Robert Mitchum from...
It's
from,
just,
from
it's just going to be the theme all over. My favorite monster. The Thing is the best.
The Thing is the best. So moving on to our top five.
Alright.
This week,
mm-hmm.
tied in with A Teacher, Damien has asked us to talk about our top five taboo relationships in films.
Yes.
And I'd like Douglas to start us off.
Top five taboo relationships in films,
yes.
or a top five films with taboo relationships?
I know, Douglas. Just pick one.
Because I didn't do the first one.
No shit.
I'm just joking. Okay, so I guess where I'm going to go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm.
I'm going to start off with number 5, which I guess it's taboo, but it's kind of... I don't know if you'd kind of look at it that way, because this, at least to us, and we all love this movie, probably didn't have kind of the teeth that, for instance, the movie that we watched today had. You know, it didn't exactly have that predatory sort of feel to it. But it's a movie about, and I have subtitles for all of my picks, by the way. It's a movie about a man and a little girl. So we know already we're in some shady and murky territory. But it stars Jean Reno. It stars Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm.
It is The Professional. And it's a great movie. And it definitely has like that weird relationship between them. But as I said, it's not very... There's no predator sort of feel or vibe to this guy.
Yet.
Very much like A Teacher. The younger one is pushing.
And I was about to say too, yeah, the younger one, Natalie Portman, looks like she's ready. Like, she's like, so, okay, here's the bed, let's just... And he's like, whoa.
Let's just chill out.
Here's a plant. Love that thing. but yeah, I love this movie. We all love this movie. And a lot of people love this movie. It's great.
Speaking of people and inanimate objects.
Yeah, yep, there we go.
Nope,
I knew this one
wrong.
Had to come. What? No?
Despite the fact that I still hate this movie, this series of movies, every time I think about them, and every time anyone thinks about them, this is all you remember. In the American Pie movie,
oh.
a young man had a very inappropriate relationship. extremely
oh,
inappropriate
so bad.
Relationship with a pie. Those movies are bad. Like, I remember loving them as a teenager.
Because we were the right age.
And I remember... No, but Andrew, like, it is one of the very first movies that this happened. Like, the second I was, like, 20, and I saw those movies again... Like, nothing about that movie was funny. Stifler was, like, nothing. Like across the board.
Don't you dare take away Stifler from my memory, because I was old enough for that to be the only thing that I liked.
You should have waited one more year. And then you like nothing about this movie.
Look, Douglas, you don't seem to realize. I am happy that the American Pie movies exist only so that we have Stifler. Right? Not as a character, but as an actor that went on to do other things. And became a little bit Stifler in a lot of his movies. He was in Role Models, which is a pretty funny
movie. I know. I'm not saying that he wasn't in other things. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the other things he was in Because I don't
Role Models, have any of those. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you that he had a younger brother who was in a show called Malcolm in the Middle. And okay. Well, absolutely. That show was awesome and he was great in it.
He was in The Rundown, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was alright. Alright.
Damon is like, no longer concerned.
Andrew's logic. Fine.
Andrew, your logic is sound, sir. Your logic. Continue.
I agree.
But yes, American Pie is a horrendous set of
movies. Oh, it's so bad. At least the Van Wilder movie, there's one good movie.
Damien,
I watched a movie
like a few days ago.
Oh,
and oh my god,
yeah,
it is not good.
Oh,
no. I still want to love it, and I still in my head say that I love it. Oh, so, Jesus Christ,
that movie and not another teen movie fall in the same camp. They're both trash. Like, if we're going to go about this as adults,
yeah,
or as decent people, they're real bad. But I saw them at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
I was ready.
Yep.
And so, whether it's nostalgia goggles or whether I'm just still a terrible person, doesn't matter. Still enjoy both those movies. Thought I would enjoy American Pie. No go. Nope. Nothing about that movie. So, Andrew.
So, my number five.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be, like, I told Douglas this. I kind of forgot I actually did this list already, like, years ago. So I went back to that list and I looked over what I've selected. And some of those movies I've drawn over. But there's still some new additions. And I want to make a modification to that list. In that list, I put pretty high up Beauty and the Beast. I want to bring back that movie at my number five. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to age this. And I'm going to go and... I want to select the 1941 version of Beauty and the Beast by Cocteau.
Of course you do. Yeah, not the good one.
That movie is fantastic. I'm sorry. It looks gorgeous. The way that everything is set up is great. And because it's done at that time, it's the same story. They find very interesting ways to represent the idea of the moving furniture and the house. So you see lots of hands in the dark.
Wait, the furniture moves? I honestly thought that was just a Disney thing because it was a musical and they were like, we need to make this
all of the furniture is living, right?
Oh wow.
the costume they have for the beast is kind of fantastic. I love the way it's put together. I love that it feels more of a tragic love story than the Disney version, obviously. I do love a lot of the music from the Disney version, including my favorite song, which is the Gaston song, which everyone has to love. But I'm going to go ahead with the 1941 version of this movie, because that's kind of fantastic.
Okay, so my number four, in keeping with Andrew's Beauty and the Beast thing, is the most recent Beauty and the Beast with Neil Patrick Harris and the guy with the scars, and I hate you, Andrew. My number four, and some of my movies are weird. This one actually, I think probably, it could actually be on one of your lists, but I think above those, I have a feeling you guys are going to have a few concerns, as usual, but okay. So, we started off with a man and a little girl,
mm-hmm.
and now we're going to move on to a man and an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
And my number four is a Linklater movie, of course. It is Bernie. And, you know, I'm a big Linklater fan. We talked about this last week. So pretty much almost all of his movies that I've seen, I love, right? There are the 1 and 2. And actually, one of the 1 and 2 stars this guy, Jack Black, who I don't have much time for, but in this movie, he did real well.
Right.
You know, and of course, there is...
better in School of Rock.
I will murder you. I hate that movie so much. And I hated it even more when... I mean, I had watched it before I knew who Linklater really was, or I knew him as an item. But when I became a Linklater fan,
mm-hmm.
and then subsequently found out that he directed that movie,
right, he loved it even more.
I wanted to just murder everybody. But anyway, Bernie is, it's great. It's fun, and, you know, dark and just, you know, up my alley, in my wheelhouse. Damien.
Okay. Part of me wants to make a joke about a young boy and a plastic bag, but I'm not going to do that. You guys know that show,
right? No,
90s movie,
American
young boy,
Beauty.
Yes, obsessed with a plastic bag.
Oh, okay, yeah,
just
yeah,
make
yeah.
Sure. Like, I want to make sure there wasn't a movie that went further.
My number 4 is American Beauty, of course.
Yeah, but clearly not for that, right? Though, that's the type of thing I would absolutely put in this list.
American Beauty is terrific, and Kevin Spacey is a bad person. He's a really bad person. And he was going to... do very, very bad things.
Don't talk about Kaiser Sose like that.
To a small girl. Luckily, he died before that could help. it can't be a spoiler. The movie's 100.
Don't they tell you in the first scene?
Like, the second movie
starts. I think,
yes.
I think they kind of tell you, but you kind of don't believe them because he's alive
right.
for the rest of
right.
the movie.
And he's still narrating the movie.
Yeah,
American Beauty is... gotta love that movie.
So my number 4
mm-hmm.
Kind of possibly stretches the nature of the word taboo, because this isn't really like a relationship that society wouldn't have accepted at the time or anything. It's just something which is like a weird decision that the people in the relationship kind of made, and how the movie's story progresses. And it's a Kevin Smith film. It's entitled Chasing Amy, in which a straight man falls in love with a gay woman. And like, there's nothing really taboo about that because they're both consenting adults. But the fact most people, when like they go, she's gay, they kind of just scratch them off the list of potential mates. They just kind of go like, yeah, that one's not happening, I guess. It's like if someone were to be like, I just don't want you, like it'd be kind of weird for you to keep trying to do that. But yeah, Chasing Amy, my number 4.
I don't like Kevin Smith movies. It's sad. I really wanted to for a long time, but I just feel like that movie, at least I can say, all right, that movie was okay. And I did like Dogma. Fine. I bet you I watch it now and hate it. But, yeah.
I'm kind of sad that I've seen Tusk and that movie's so on fire. It is sad. I wanted to believe in Kevin Smith again.
Yep, but it did not happen.
Like, for a long time, I was not on Douglas' side. Right? Because I still enjoy both the Clerks movies.
Oh.
And they're making Clerks 3.
And. But, like, the more movies he made, the more, like, the shine wore off, and then I could see through the haze.
I think I'll always have Chasing Amy.
And then
that's
one
the one
day,
movie that I can always go to and be like, that is the best I think he'll ever do.
So I still like that movie, and I still love Dogma and Chasing Amy. But I didn't like those movies anywhere as much as I like Clerks. But then one day, I sat down and was, like, trying to get through all these movies, and...
believe me, I couldn't get through Clerks 2. I can't do this.
I've only watched that once, and I remember God, enjoying it that time. That was when it came out.
That was the one with, like, Rosario Dawson, right? Then, I remember watching a piece of it, and that piece was when they redid Good Will Hunting, and I thought that was a little funny, but
that's not in that movie. You're talking about Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Which
yeah.
I thought was kind of funny when I first saw that, like a few years back.
Zach and Mary? Oh my word.
Oh, it's so bad.
Do you know that that was the first movie we ever...
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, we had to talk about that movie. It was fun times.
Yes, it was. Yes, you should. So my number, whatever, I think this is 3. And I'm toying with the order of this. But, you know, so my number 3 is a story about a man and his brother's girlfriend, which...
That's not taboo. That happens all the time.
it's kind of taboo. I'm just saying.
It's how your girlfriend name is Michelle.
There we go.
That's how that works.
That's how that works. This movie is a movie that I really love. And yet again, there really is no predatory vibe about this movie. It's actually very kind of almost happy-go-lucky and you know, it's...
Please
it's,
don't let it be that movie.
Okay, well, it's not that movie. It's Dan in Real Life, which I don't know if that was that movie.
No.
Happy-go-lucky
is the movie.
I love that in real life. It's great. I know it's not, you know, the ultimate cinema experience, but there was something wonderful about the story and just the vibe that it
Douglas,
has. You know?
I want you to write me a list.
Mm-hmm.
Of the ultimate cinema experience.
Okay, well, you have to start off with the base of the Matrix,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you add
the
spice. yeah, the only Matrix. You add the spice of White House Down,
mm-hmm.
a little dash of 2012,
mm-hmm.
and
do we get some 22 Jump Street
for good? Okay, yes, we can have some color from 22 Jump Street and just for. A little added flavor,
mm-hmm.
with throwing about a handful of Lars von Trier, and that is
and watch zero people enter that theater. Mm-hmm. Tonight at Carib, we're having a Damien and Douglas special. it's my turn, right? Yeah. I have a lot of joke picks on this.
Yeah, I have a couple that we can talk about that are just dumb.
there is one that Speed Racer and the Mach 5. That's very bad things happen in that relationship. I think we should look into it. Too many late nights in that garage. Something happened. My actual pick, though, is Lars. And because of course it is. Come on, guys. That movie is just so awesome because the tone eventually just goes, you know what? Alright.
Mm-hmm.
We like this youth because he's not all there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to accept that this is his girlfriend. And, oh god, I love that movie. It's so good.
I'm so sad. I never watched that movie.
It's so good. I really should.
I know.
Then the audibles really begin.
Mm-hmm.
so, my number 3, since Lars is taken,
mm-hmm.
Is Lars and the Real Girl. No, sorry. It's a movie. It comes from a country where taboos in films are dealt with a lot. We see a lot of crazy things in their movies, and we like it for it. But I'm going to go to Park Chan-wook's 2003 classic, Old Boy.
Okay, let me just take that off the list.
As of course. The final plot twist of that movie shows the nature of why Odesu was captured involves a little bit of a questionable relationship. And the Spike Lee version took it even further.
Did it take it further though?
It was the whole house. Just.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And it's kind of bothering to see that.
Bothering.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Damn Koreans.
Hey. Don't you dare. Okay? You not speak.
If I go to Japan, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask them if the Koreans are really their Mexicans. David can't hold it. He can't hold it. He can't hold it. There we go.
Who the hell are you?
I think you all are. I think you both are. I didn't laugh, so I'm going to have you.
Deep inside.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
My number two movie, speaking of bad jokes, is a movie about a man, another man, and almost a penis. And this is the movie that I try to bring up on this podcast as many times as possible. It is also a musical, mm-hmm. so Damien hates it.
And will never watch it.
It is a movie by the name of Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Didn't Damien watch this movie?
Of course he did.
No, I didn't.
I think we spoke about it. I think we did. Yeah.
You can't prove anything.
I love that movie. Of course it's great.
I love the music in that movie so much.
Yep.
Just keep going.
Yeah, that angry
issue. Ah, right. My number
six
two.
6 inches forward and 5 inches back.
Is Lolita.
I still haven't watched that movie. Have
you seen Lolita?
I think I've seen bits and pieces.
My next pick will be Lolita.
Wait, so I mean, directed. Remind me who is in Lolita again?
No.
Kubrick directed.
I know.
I don't know anything else.
Good job. I am going to stop talking about it now.
I don't know what the movie is technically about.
We are going
what
to.
What do you mean you don't know what it's technically
Lolita.
About?
No, I know what it's technically about. It's about like somebody going after this young girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never actually seen it. It's
right. And we'll all watch it the next time.
the next time.
I'm entering it now.
For 3 weeks from now.
For 3 weeks from now.
James Mason.
Uh huh. Lolita.
I know how James Mason
put
sounds
it in red.
Because I watch Eddie Izzard do stand-up.
You're a bad person. Andrew Robbins, what
Winters
is your number
and
two?
Sula.
So my number two pick
mm-hmm.
was my number one film
mm-hmm.
from the year of The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Right One In. Because...
A Boy and a Vampire.
It's not so much a boy and a vampire. It's not so much a boy and a vampire. But when you watch that movie again and you kind of pay more attention to what's going on with the actual vampire, you realize that this vampire, A, is probably a billion years old,
mm-hmm.
and B, is creating this relationship with this boy, not so much because of any actual feelings, but because she needs a new caretaker.
Yeah. Her old boy
is
now an old boy. Yeah, exactly.
And... it is really creepy, and like we can still the age thing already brings up the taboos
yeah.
of like if we want to think of the vampire like that. But this is not an appropriate relationship for this child that he's entering into, and it's a really fucked up movie, and it's a really great movie.
God, I love that movie.
I love it so much.
Every time I think about that movie, I remember that they remade it. And every time I think about the remake, I hate it a little bit. Not the original, the remake.
I've only seen the remake once.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it one time, I haven't watched it again. But I felt about that remake almost the way you felt about the Old Boy remake. Where I didn't really think poorly of it. I thought it had its additions and its subtractions. Like there are parts which it didn't do as well, and parts where Matt Reeves did some phenomenal filmmaking for that movie. I remember like a car crash scene. With like the camera inside and stuff, and it looked just great. And of course there was Casey Jones in it, and I love that. But it did. But at the end of the day, I still love this one more.
It like the movie at no point felt. It didn't feel like the original.
All right, no. I just want to let you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm translating for you.
Yeah.
Right. So you said that, and that is in Damien's speech.
Mm-hmm.
I am now translating for you
right.
so that you understand what I am hearing from
right.
you. it wasn't exactly the same as a book. That's what you're saying.
No.
That's not what no, I know it's not what you think you're saying. I'm translating for you. That's what I'm hearing, and that's what you are saying.
Like
you just can't admit it to yourself. I'm just letting you know.
The original movie felt like there was a relationship between
there was,
the two
there was
children,
this feeling,
but it was wrapped in this.
Yeah, and it was great.
A horror movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Matt Reeves one. Kind of like an action movie.
I know.
It was more action
than
it was horror.
So the
and
feeling,
that's not what
the feeling from the first movie
right.
just wasn't in the second movie.
Uh-huh.
The second movie wasn't exactly like the book.
Yeah. I know that's what you want to hear.
The second movie
not
wasn't
that,
enough
not
like
was
the first
poor
movie.
Adaptation. No, that's not.
You are saying it's a poor adaptation
yes.
because it wasn't exactly like the first
no,
movie. So I guess it's my turn for number one.
Mm-hmm. Numero uno.
Numero uno.
If we're in Shetland. Sorry.
And my number one movie is a movie about, well, I was going to say a man, but really a boy. A boy, his mother, and a rock. And this movie... Holy shit! Yes, how did you not think of this, Andrew? Mm. This movie goes by the name of Mobius. This movie is possibly one of the most fucked up movies I have ever witnessed. There, you know, are people who can't even watch this movie who have to walk out of this movie and can't watch it. But
have
this,
you seen this yet?
Yeah, I think it, you haven't seen
I'm
this.
Joking, of course.
Oh, I thought you'd seen
you
it.
Guys told
this
me to
movie
watch it the second I got the chance
is so well. You know, I know it's not for everybody, but for me, this movie was so great. There is not a lick of dialogue, and it just works 100%. And you have. Eventually this weird relationship between him and his mother, you have the fact that well, not even just eventually, from day one his mom cuts off his hoo-ha.
His friend. No, that's not
you need to get your strokes.
This is not hoo-ha.
his dangling participle, right? That's what she cuts off. You know. So, you know, there's weird relationships all around. And this movie just does crazy so well. Thank you, Kim Kiduk, for being. And I cannot wait to watch your next movie. Damien, what is your number one?
All right. There's a joke pick and then there's my rip pick. The joke pick is there is a man and there is a cartoon lady. And then there's a rabbit.
Wait, by the way, I love that movie.
You're a bad person. Going to help us. My number one and the second, Andrew. I mean, I came up with this top five. Because of course I did. I thought of this movie. I think 2 years ago, a movie called Amore came out. It is about two families, of both mothers with sons around the same age. And one starts banging the other's child.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, I know what movie you're talking about. This is the one with, like, what's her name? Dogville and... Oh, wait.
No.
Are you talking about Tilda Swinton movie?
No.
Yeah, this is the one with Australia, the two Australian ladies.
Yeah.
Kim, no, not Kim. What's her name? Nicole Kidman and, no? So what movie are you talking about then? It's Nicole Kidman and
You mean Adore?
Adore.
Yeah, that's the movie I'm thinking of, right?
Naomi Watts
and Nicole. Right. Oh,
and
it's Robin Wright.
Wright.
Okay, I don't know why I thought
then
it was Nicole
Robin,
Kidman.
Naomi
Watts.
Yeah.
Adore. Not
I still haven't watched this movie.
I just have you running.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the name of the movie is Amour. I need to
go. I thought you were talking about Amour. I think it's A-M-O-U-R, where it's like some old couple.
Yeah, it's an old couple.
Yeah.
That's some I blame XBMC. That's not, I've been calling
you. The ability to read
of course,
movies.
You know what's going to happen?
It wrong.
No, what's going to happen? He's going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be like, fuck you, XBMC, mm-hmm. and click the clicker and realize, oh, it does say Adore.
Now I can look at it here. And it says Amour.
Oh, see, that's the one that I'm talking about. That's
yes,
how you spell
but I have
no,
wrong.
No, I know. I'm just saying that. That's how you spell
I'm telling
one.
You.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying that you guys are wrong. I have it wrong. So, both mothers have sons that are roughly the same age. And they're very friendly. And then one mother becomes overly friendly with the other lady's son. And when she finds out, she kind of starts taking revenge, but it's the worst kind of revenge, by banging the other, her friend's son. And on and back and forth. And it is just one of the craziest stories. Everything about every decision that is made in this movie is the wrong decision. There is no right decision made. And I love how the movie ends. I think it's incredible. But I can see where a lot of people will not like this movie. It is not one that I can look at objectively and go, the whole world has to like this or they're wrong.
Yeah. Like, you know, somebody needs to talk about, we need to talk about Kevin. Like,
no, everyone has, that movie is incredible. If you don't like that movie, you're a bad person.
Damien, you know, there are
no one. There's no one that dislikes that.
That's a Tom movie. That's not
everyone.
That's not an everybody movie.
My sisters love that movie.
Yeah.
My mother likes that movie. My aunt likes that movie.
Are all of those people in your family? Do all of those people share DNA with you?
I can't prove
any of that. Which would then make them like things that you possibly like as well.
That hasn't been the case in the past.
Do they share certain AMZO's tendencies?
Alright, fine, yes.
Okay. Okay.
They share AMZO's. Cannot deny that.
I can't deny it.
Uh-huh. No, just keep going. Uh-huh.
So, okay, my number one, like Damien, the moment this came up, the first movie I thought of, because it just fit perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movie I feel, I know I got Douglas to watch like half of it, but he kicked out after a while. And I don't know if you've ever seen it because I've never really talked about it. But it's a classic film. It's one that people love. It's the 1971 romantic comedy between a very old lady who is close to dying and unafraid of it and a very young child. I don't know, they don't actually say how old he is, but he's very young in comparison. Who is obsessed with death and loves to play pranks around his family, pretending he's committed suicide. And this movie is called Harold and Maude. Never seen it.
I've not seen it.
I wanted to finish that movie.
It is a fantastic movie.
That movie
it is
good.
Dark. It is twisted. It's funny. It's weird. And you have the old lady and young man romance, which just kind of sets you off a little bit. Every once in a while, because you keep questioning how far they are going to take this. The movie is brilliant, and of course it helps out that the soundtrack was all done by Cat Stevens.
Yusuf.
I'm calling him Cat Stevens.
He actually has new music out. He's doing music again. I heard one of his songs on a podcast and was very happy. It was awesome. It's one of those things where I was like, I actually stopped to be like, who is this? And it said he just said Yusuf, and I'm like, you mean like Yusuf Islam, who is, you know, and it actually, yes, it turned out to be him.
So yeah, Harold and Maude.
Good job.
I like that movie a lot.
Never ever seen
it. It's at least if the second half is as good as the first half.
At one point, he's living with his mother. And his mother is trying to get to marry him off, pretty much. So she's going to dating services and trying to get women to come to the house. One woman appears at the house and sits down to talk with him for a little bit. and kind of say, hi, what's up, like, what are you into? And he says, give me a minute. He gets up, and she walks outside, to which he sets up a area in which he lights himself a fire. Right? Throughout the movie, he's just pretend suiciding to freak out his mother. Like, even when the movie starts, you see him hanging, and the mother walking past, just ignoring it. Just going straight to the phone, like, when are you going to stop these shenanigans? And when he does that to the girl, though, because she don't know what she's in for.
Damon. It is, and that's not the only time he did it. Essentially, she has this dating service, just truck girls in, and he just does it to each of them. And shenanigans, Damon.
And of course, old lady likes to steal cars.
Of course she does. That's how they met. She stole his car. Which, by the way,
I think
is a hearse. He drives a hearse.
Of course he does.
Because he's also so dead.
That doesn't surprise me.
When she brought him a when she brought him a Jag, he converted it to a hearse.
I like this movie.
Anyways, that's it for now. As always, you can hear the podcast over at gmerlinviews.com or through iTunes or Stitcher. Douglas is on Twitter at DJ, I lost his name. Constantly worrying whether Costa will play or not. Damon is on Twitter at Damon_wife, just ignoring me completely.
Dog, listen to me. I'm not ignoring anybody. If you look here,
you're seeing everything.
Oh, well, this is 3 hours ago. Let's see what the official Twitter was to say about this. Because it saves your last position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, this. Look at the date.
November.
That's November 1st. And that's the first. This is I don't like using Twitter.
And I'm at GBrand Reviews constantly trying to figure out.
Well, I'm just saying something at Damon Wayne.
You don't get like beeps?
Goddamn.
Turn off notifications.
Twitter.
What about Flying? Flying doesn't beep you?
No, I don't have my Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Connected to Flying because I want to be able to read news in peace instead of having lunatics talk madness.